It's time to begin. Page 186. Page 186. Face to face. Let's all stand, shall we?
About, I forgot, I am telling you, today reminded me it's the end of November. It is cold, it is winter,
amen.
And I did not think of it Sunday, and I knew we got our connections crossed, of course, no Awana, but we want you to testify, we want you to give thanks tonight for something the Lord's done for you. I don't want a sermon. I don't want a verse unless it goes with, we want to hear how you're thankful. I do. I want to hear how you're thankful. But first, a little humor. Very little. This is pushing the limit, so I'm going to push the limit tonight. And they both have to do with parrots, and I don't know why. A lady purchased a parrot whose previous owner had taught him profanity and decided that she would reform him. The parrot learned a number of Christian words and Bible verses to replace the cuss words. However, the owner caught him cussing one day and grabbed him and said, "I'll teach you to never talk that way again." So she put him in the deep freeze and slammed the door. A few minutes later, the owner took the parrot out of the freezer and asked, "Have you learned your lesson now?" The little bird shivered and replied, "Yes, ma'am." After a couple of months, the lesson was forgotten, and the little parrot was caught saying cuss words again. The owner returned him to the freezer and left him in there for a long time. The little parrot almost froze to death. The owner took the bird back to his cage to let him thaw out. When he began to move a little bit, she asked him again, "Did you learn your lesson this time, Buster?" The parrot said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure did." Then he just sat there in the cage quietly for a few more minutes, shivering and thinking about what just happened to him. Then the parrot looked at his owner and said, "Ma'am, may I ask you a serious question?" The owner answered, "Yes, you may." The parrot thought for a moment and then said, "I thought I knew all the bad words that there were in the world. But just what exactly did the turkey say?" You need a minute? Need a minute? Turkey's in the freezer. I'll save the other one. Let's pray. Father, we ask you tonight to help us. Help us be thankful. Help us to will that, to determine that, to choose that. Lord, I thank you tonight that we can gather, and it's different, and there are some that can't be here, and some that are doing something else, but we're here, and you bless us. You show us and remind us what you've done for us and how we can praise you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us what you called an unspeakable gift. I'm so glad I'm saved, and I pray you'll help me to be a better Christian. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 185 in your hymnals, My Savior First of All, page 185.
That he's going to smile at us. But it's easy to think he will, right? Okay, one more. A pastor bought a female parrot that became quite a problem. The only thing the parrot could say, are we being recorded? The only thing the parrot could say was, come on, baby, let's kiss. Come on, baby, let's kiss. She was quite carnal. The pastor wanted a more spiritually minded parrot, so he looked around for help. After much frustration, the pastor found another couple in his church who also had a parrot. They had a male. He didn't say anything at all, but brethren, let us pray. Brethren, let us pray. Over and over and over. So the pastor asked the couple if they could get their parrots together. They planned a meeting, and when the big day finally arrived, the young couple came over to the pastor's house with their parrot. The two parrots immediately saw each other, and sure enough, the pastor's parrot blurted out, come on, baby, let's kiss. Come on, baby, let's kiss. When the couple's parrot heard these words, he paused for a moment, then he blurted out, glory to God, my prayers have been answered. Whatever. You do whatever. Get mad. If you're mad, get in line. I got a, if you have a prayer list, we're going to go through that quick. I got an update from Misty Ross. He's moving his right side a lot, but not his left. They weaned him off the sedation. He's breathing on his own, ventilator still in, only to help clear a little bit of fluid out of his lungs. His respiratory therapist says his lungs sound great. The best news, his brain bleed is shrinking. So we're encouraged by that. You keep praying. He's on there. Vern Ross, keep praying for him. Pray for Kevin. Does Kevin, are they still waiting to see if he has pneumonia? Could he have it? Okay, so we could, so pray he doesn't have, but he does have bronchitis. Okay, Kevin has, which, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the parrot. Come on, baby, let's kiss. I'm sorry. We're going to try to praise the Lord tonight, aren't we? Anyways, pray for Kevin. Pray for Kevin. Pray for Kevin. Everybody else on there, you keep praying for them. All right, let's have prayer. Dear Lord, tonight, we're glad that we could be in your house. We're always glad when we could be together, when we can sing and praise you. And Father, I pray that we will have a joy that nothing else could cause. That, in fact, Jesus said that we could have his joy and that it would be full. We wouldn't need anything else. We would be filled up with his joy. It wouldn't take anything else for us to have that kind of joy. That's the joy of Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that we'll all have that. And, Lord, we pray tonight. We think of Kevin. We pray that you'd give him healing. And, Lord, we're not just praying that he'd get over it and get well and wouldn't get bad. We're asking you to take it away. He's battled something and now he's battling this. We just ask you to give him, Lord, healing. You can do that. We're praying the same for Vern Ross, that we could hear that, man, he's getting his movement back and everything is good. And Lord, that's our prayer. That's what we are boldly praying. We won't demand, but we are coming boldly. We need mercy. We need grace to help. This is a time of need. And yes, there are others on that list. But we, God, want to see you work. We want to know that our prayers, according, you said, according to as we believe. So we want to believe tonight, Lord, that you'll answer. And we ask you to show yourself. And Lord, bless our time together tomorrow as families, as we get together. I pray it will be special. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take an offering because we need the money. We don't, but I want to give. If you don't want to give, don't give. I want to give. Sorry. Didn't mean to cause a ruckus. Pray to pray. Father, please bless our night. And thank you that we can give. Thank you for all that you gave. And we know that what you said is true, that it is more blessed to give. That'll do more for us than receiving. So that's one of our motivations tonight, is you said that. And we give, Lord, because you've given us so much. We praise you for it. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In my testing one, two, we would say, check, check. Okay, who's going first? You don't all have to.
I am thankful for our Lord who was watching over me as I went up and down this year with my medical issues. And I can say that all of the prayers were answered. I am on the mend, and hopefully I won't be on the prayer list any longer. I am thankful for my wife who stayed with me through all of this and was supportive and never frowned one time. And I'm thankful for all of you, my church family, that always provided encouragement to me and smiles, and that is what I'm thankful for, not only tomorrow, but for this whole year.
Amen. Amen. You don't have to.
I'm just thankful that we have a Bible that is our roadmap.
Okay. You don't have to be thankful for your husband. Yeah?
I just thank the Lord that he never leaves us or forsakes us. There was a time when I had walked away, not intentionally, but it was hard to get back in to coming to church after my dad had passed away. And I am just so thankful that the Lord never left me, and that he came back into my heart, and that he led me here.
Amen. Amen. Yeah?
So this year, I got in a little trouble for giving the gospel at work. So I was praying a lot that the Lord would just let this lady calm down and it wouldn't come to anything worse than it was. And I'm just thankful that the Lord answered prayer there and kept my mind on him during that whole time. And I'm thankful that I think I'm doing the right thing when I see that Satan doesn't like what I'm doing. And I just pray that I can keep bringing the light to the little kids that I work with and to my staff. I'm thankful for my family, for Johnny, who came into my life at just the right time. My boys were real young, and thankful that he is working in my boys' lives. And even though sometimes I don't see it, I know that he hears me, and I know that I can be confident that he's watching over, and that in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time.
Amen. Wow, yeah.
I'm thankful for John and Debbie Berkey and for Doug Abel, who used to come here and witnessing to Kenny and I and bringing a Bible storybook to our children 18 years ago.
Wow.
And leading us
Amen.
To this church.
Amen.
She nailed it.
Don't make me walk all the way down there and then...
Yeah, I'm thankful for salvation.
Amen.
I know I started out, didn't know anything, and very seldom went to church, and then knew, you know, I figured I'd just carry on and, you know, do like my brothers and, you know, just have a good time and die and, you know, take whatever comes. But then I happened to move up to Cleveland, Ohio, and start going to church there, and saw what the difference is. You know that you're going to die someday. If you don't get saved, you're going to split hell wide open, as they used to say, and. I said, and had some old-time preachers come to Cleveland Baptist and preach hell.
Yeah.
You know, just Amen. They just preached, and you'd have I'd at first I'd see other people that weren't saved, and they'd give an invitation, and I'd look and I'd see they have white knuckles, you know, where they were just they're under conviction, you know, and I'm going, what's going on with those people, you know, and as I kept going and listening, and it finally sinked in, you know, that now I know why they've got white knuckles. That's the same thing, you know, like if I don't accept Christ, I'm gonna go to hell. Wow. And then they'd preach that what hell is like. And I said, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want it. Christ was just too great, you know, to he doesn't want me to go to hell. So I accepted Christ and my life changed, completely changed, you know. Even like my brothers, fortunately, a lot of them did get saved and later on, you know, because we witnessed to them and got them to come to church and stuff. But they were rough on me. I was the black sheep from that time on. I'd go over and like that one, you talked about that one time where he went in the full of smoke. That was my brother's place. You know, they called me up.
Wow.
Get over here. You're having a birthday party. I said, oh, no, I don't. Well, I'll come for a little bit. They get over there, and you walk in the door, and they're just like, you got to get through the cloud, you know. Then they're all on there, you know, drinking and all that stuff. And I just tell them, I don't do this anymore, you know.
Amen.
And, but I'm thankful that I'm saved, and that I try to keep carrying on, you know, as we're getting older. I guess I've said enough.
Okay. Well, I'm thankful, too, that the Lord saved me. As a young girl, I heard a message on hell, and Dr. B.R. Lakeman was at Cleveland Baptist Church. And he preached on hell, and I went home, knelt by my bed, and I had lots of doubts as I grew up as a teenager and everything. We'd have revival, and I'd go forward all the time. And I finally found out after I got a little older, I was around 19, I surrendered totally. We're, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, and you can't live both. You know, I went to public school, you know, and I liked to fit in with the girls. I had a lot of girlfriends and would go with them to do things that my mom, dad didn't approve of. They didn't know about. But, you know, finally I surrendered totally and realized that, you know, that's the best way to live, happiest.
Amen. So Sunday night, I went up to Cass County Jail. And sometimes when you go up there, you think, boy, are they really listening? Mm-hmm. So Sunday night, I was able to go into maximum security. And there's six guys in there. They're all in their own cell. And I'm able to talk through them. There's a steel door, and then there's the glass, and then there's a small opening underneath. And as I went up to this one individual, he came up to the door, and he said, would you just pray that I'm just having really mental struggles, and I'm taking that he wants to hurt himself. I said, have you been reading your Bible? Do you have a Bible? He goes, yes, chaplain, we have one. The chaplain gave us one, so he's been reading his Bible. He says, but I'm just not getting it. I said, maybe you're not getting it because you maybe never accept the Lord as your personal Savior. And I said, have you done that? Do you remember, was there a day that you made that decision and asked the Lord to be in your life, and he just shook his head no. I said, do you want to do that right now? So this guy looks at me. He has tattoos all over his face, and his eyes start watering.
Amen.
And I'm like, he's ready. He's sincere. He's like, yeah, I got to get this settled. So pray for Mike. You know, I don't know anything about him. I don't check why they're in there. Could be on the news. He's in maximum security, so he's not a good boy. So hopefully he gets in the Word and goes from there. But, you know, the Word, sometimes I don't feel like going, to be honest. But there's a two-letter word that keeps going in my mind. It's the word go. Just go. And, man, if we could get more people to go, because I go once every other week or the third week or whatever, but if more people can go, other churches, whatever, man, they'd hear a lot more. So, you know, I'm just thankful this church is part of that whole thing. It's not like I did this or whatever. It's the whole church and those that pray. So pray for Mike. I'll see him in a couple weeks.
Amen.
I want to comment on that. And conviction. Praying a prayer doesn't save you. God moves and you know it. That needs to happen. You don't want to say anything, do you? Debbie? What you guys just figured out. I'm going to sit here.
I'm just thankful every day for the heritage that God gave me, for parents that love the Lord.
Amen.
That taught me to love the Lord, and that I didn't go through a lot of things that a lot of people had to face because my parents made sure I lived like I should, and Amen. I knew Jesus. And so I've always been thankful for that heritage, and I'm thankful I've been able to pass it on to my children.
Amen. Except her dad. Tell how mean he was. He was mean to me. Daryl was mean to me. I love him, though. Yeah, I miss him.
He was a typical Sergeant Carter. Big belly, white T-shirt, the crew cut. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. He could yell. But anyway, he never yelled at me. But, you know, I have an excellent caregiver. You never know when, you know, you get this in disability or something. But the only thing I want to warn you, she's got muscles from throwing me around. And we have good kids, good neighbors right there, and good church. It makes all the difference in the world.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going this side, and then we'll sing it, so we'll do you others. Carol? You don't have to. Now you do.
I'm thankful for my parents that raised me in a Christian home. From the time I can remember, the doors were open, we were there. I was saved at a young age. My mom wrote in her Bible I was 4, but I don't remember that. But I remember when I was 8, coming home from church on a Sunday night and going into the back room and telling my mom I didn't think I was saved. And she didn't hem and haw. She just said, okay. And she showed me from the Bible how to be saved. My dad passed away when I was 10. And I remember being very bitter at God, feeling like he shouldn't have taken my dad. Like, my dad was who brought the gospel to our family, because my mom's side of the family is all Catholic. So I remember we went to a Christian school, my brother and I, and we had in junior high, starting like 7th grade, so we went to Camp Joy up in Whitewater, Wisconsin for school camp. And Don Camp, evangelist, I think, or just a preacher, I remember he was preaching our school camp. And it's just kind of a funny thing, because you'd have little bit of school, but it was more like we were at camp, and they just preached at you like three times a day. So he was preaching on salvation, assurance of salvation, lot of different things that week. I remember getting it settled that I knew when I died that I would go to heaven. First John 5 about knowing Christ was my Savior for me, not because of what my mom wrote in her Bible, not that she would ever write a lie in her Bible, but I had to know for me. Mm-hmm. And I did deal with bitterness for quite a while, but after that, I realized maybe God took my father away because he was like an idol. Like, I thought he was this perfect person, which he wasn't. My dad had a lot of flaws, as all of us do, because we're sinners. He smoked. He didn't always respond well. He got angry. And yet, in my eyes, he was right up there with God. I don't know. God moves in different ways, and he allows things in our lives we don't always understand. But I'm thankful for the family God gave me and for the family God has given me since then, and for God bringing us to this church and our church family here. We're so blessed with wonderful friends and people that pray, and thankful especially for Pastor and Mrs. Rooley. I never had a pastor and his wife tell me they pray for me every day. I think has made a huge difference in our family.
Page 184 in your hymnals, Jesus Led Me All the Way. 184. Let's all stand, shall we? We'll sing the first and last verses.
We should give, sit on this side, all of you, because we've done this side. Go ahead.
We want you to. Were you not going to sit over there?
No.
Okay.
I'm sitting in my same spot. I am just so thankful the Lord gives us extra strength every day through sickness, health, whatever. I'm so glad he's there to help us, because some days it's really a rough time. And I'm thankful for our family and our friends. And just this church is so much a blessing to us.
Amen. Amen.
I'm thankful for the Lord having a plan. Sometimes you don't see it right away, but you can look back and see it. And you make plans of your own, or you have things that you want to do, and then they don't turn out. And you don't know why, but you know God's got a plan for it. And like this year, I was hoping to get my hip replaced. Had no idea I had any kind of issue with my heart. And it's a hindrance to me to have my hip delayed, but it's better to have a hip delayed than a heart that needs repaired. So I'm thankful that the Lord knows everything. He knew my heart needed work on it. And Lord, I just thank him for that. And I thank him for the church, the blessing of all the people here. I'm thankful for my salvation as well. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have the Lord.
Right. Amen. Come on, Brown. Let her rip. Why not? Now you have to. Let her rip, Brown.
Well, I'm thankful for this church. Just even just being able to play the piano, it's really helped me improve. Yeah.
Way to go, Brown. Yeah? No? Yeah?
Actually, I got two things. Some people will probably tell me I'm crazy for saying this, the people I work with, but I don't know if you know that I'm divorced, and I'm actually thankful for my wife when I did have her. She did teach me things that brought to my attention that I didn't realize that I'd done. And also the in-laws I had, I still communicate with them today. The other thing is, being raised up in the Methodist Church, we had a pastor come to our church. His name was Pastor Daniel Light. He was a Baptist church from Southern Indiana. Come up and talked about testimonies. I'm like, wow, he talked about all these different testimonies. Like, wow, I wish I could have testimonies like that. I was probably 17, 18 years old. Living in Indianapolis, I went for schooling down there, and I was getting ready to come home. And I met with these other two ladies. Then we were going to try to do Bible study, but we just talked about how God has worked in our life. They said, well, we're going to be late tomorrow. It's like, okay. I show up. They are early, and I'm the one that's just a little late. They're like, we don't think it's time for you to head back home yet. God has a reason for you to stay here. I'm like, okay. So I thought about it. There's a couple of things like, okay, I can see why. Later on that night, we had two people get into a fight, a ex-football player and an ex-Marine. Thought they were better than the other one, and they both got fired. The following night, boss came up to me and was like, hey, I know you're wanting to leave, but can you stay an extra 2 more weeks? I'll let you think about it. It's like, nope, don't have to worry about it. My answer is yes, I'll stay. So confused. Why am I supposed to stay in Indianapolis when I need to go back home, find another job, and try to get my life going on back in northern Indiana? So since I wasn't really a permanent person there anymore, I was just kind of floating around helping. And I was starting to talk to one person, and she kept on going about this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I said, well, do you believe in God? She looked me straight dead in the eye. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I said it now. And I helped out for a little bit, and I went on to someone else and helped out. Come back, help her again, and she kept on going on. She's like, I forgot what she said to me. But she kept on going on, talking about her boyfriend, talking about her vehicle, talking about this issue, this, that issue. And I said, well, have you prayed about it? She looked me straight dead in the eye again, and like, oh, my goodness. Okay. I said, way too much now, God. Help me. And anyways, I kept on, went to somebody else, helped them out, and I came back to help them out again. And she's like, you know what? Nobody has ever asked me if I've ever prayed about it before. It's like, oh, okay. Well, interesting. No, I guess I did something. Anyways, I was able to come back home, And my graduation time was different from other people because I went to school during the nights, considered most of them went to school during the days. And I went back down, I called my manager up, said, hey, I'm still trying to transfer up to South Bend. I haven't been transferred yet. Can I come back and work? He was like, yeah, go right ahead, come on in. I come right in, and most jobs is, you know, you're not supposed to touch other people or hugs or whatever. I walked in, this the girl I was talking to came up to me, jumped around me, wrapped her legs around me, and said, and with a big old hug and everything, and then said, my boyfriend, I'm getting along with my boyfriend, my job, my other job's doing good, this and that. And she's like, I would have never done it if you told me about praying. So the word of prayer is awesome.
Mm. Amen. Margaret?
Yes. You want to rebut what Carol said?
The biggest thing I know is that the Lord saved me years ago, and I'm on the way to heaven. And the Lord's given me such a good family to be with and live with, and I see them growing and living for the Lord. That's what I have to look forward to. They're doing the right thing.
Amen.
I have a lot to be thankful for, but hard to say it. I'm thankful for my church and my friends here and being able to pray for them. And I'm thankful for my family and my salvation. And I think of what Bill says about the white knuckles. I had the white knuckles, and then I fainted. So I made a big scene. I didn't want to go forward. I was too shy. But I did bigger than that, and I was a teenager, and I was so thankful ever since.
Thankful for your pastor?
Most of the time. No, all the time.
Most of the time? Let's pray. Let's pray. Excuse me. Yeah? Are you thankful for your pastor? She's not.
So I'm really thankful for a lot of things. I lost my job at Joann's when they went bankrupt, and I had to find another job, and I got a job at a movie theater for a while, but then God brought in Michael's, and I've been able to work there now, and I've been able to get more hours, and though it can be stressful around this time of year, I'm really thankful for that job that I have and the people I'm working with. And I'm also really thankful for God and how he works. I'm thankful that he doesn't give up on us, and that even though we question him about different things, like he's not gonna turn his back on us or anything. Like over the past several months or weeks maybe even, I have questioned God a lot about why he allows different things to happen. But I'm really thankful that I can question him, because I know that he is still God, even though I might not understand. Like, he's far more bigger, wiser than I ever could be. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing, even though I don't. And even though I can't see why he's doing what he's doing, I know he knows what he's doing because he's in control. And after all this time, I'm sure I'm going to be able to look back and see how he worked. So I'm really thankful that no matter how many times I question him, he's still in control and he knows what he's doing. And I can find comfort and peace in his word and through other believers who can encourage me and comfort me and let me know that he knows what he's doing and he's not lost it. Everything has its purpose, even though it seems like it doesn't.
Amen. Sharon? Yes? No?
I'm thankful for John Berkey. A few years ago, he said to me, would you be interested in working in the jail ministry for the ladies? And I said, me? And I said, I'll pray about it. I went home. I prayed about it. A week later, I called John. I said, yes, I'll do it. And I thought, how can I be a blessing to these ladies? But God showed me how I could bless them ladies. And the result was, not only was they, I blessed them, John and I, Pam, we blessed them, but in return, they blessed us. Because those ladies do not, they're not forced to come. They can come on their, there is a voluntary thing. And many of them come seeking the Lord, and we just, we just pray for each one of them, each one of them, that once they get out, that there'll be someone there to help them to get right, stay on the right track and not get back into the same thing that got them in the trouble to begin with. So pray for all these ladies behind iron bars. Please pray for them.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Ladies first.
Ladies first. Young ladies first.
I'm thankful for the children's ministry here. I'm thankful that I'm able to participate in bringing these kids to Christ. Some of them don't have anybody that knows anything about God that could tell them. Most of them are very lost, even at a super young age, the stuff that goes on in their lives, like, we wouldn't understand. And I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to work here and help out with that. I wish we could, we have a great ministry here. There's a lot of kids. I wish we could get more to be here. I wish we could talk to all of them in the school, because there's just a lot. But I'm super thankful that God's allowed us to have that ministry here and that I'm able to work in it.
Amen.
Well, I was thinking about what everyone's saying, and what would I say that would be really what is in my heart? And that would be, I am thankful for all those family members who were a big influence on my life. My mother and father were godly. They served the Lord, loved the Lord. They did not miss church for anything. And they taught me how to be faithful. My grandmother, and my grandfather, but my, you know, my grandfather, like what Carol said, you know, he smoked. But my grandmother was very godly. And she was the matriarch of our family. And she loved the Lord. You know, I know we read a lot about, you know, how we should fear God. And I believe that. We really should. We should fear God. But I never really saw that from her about fear. You saw love. She loved the Lord. That's why she served the Lord. She loved the Lord. And others, you know, John Sheets and Pat Sheets, a big influence on my life. I've had a lot. I've got a lot to be thankful for. And I miss Pat.
Yeah.
Choked up just thinking about it.
Yeah.
But and you know, we're missing people that are, they're getting older and passing. It's part of life. But these people have been a big influence on my life, and Pastor, you have as well. Been a big influence on my life. Thank you.
I've been here long enough that I knew his grandma. I mean, what a blessing. Your mom and dad. In fact, his mom and dad came before he did. They heard that we were here and did have a piano player, so she said, do you need us to come? And they did. And man, they were just rock solid and very influential in my life. I'm thankful for them. I miss them. Kids, you kids, don't breathe on the microphone.
Okay. I'm thankful that God's love is unconditional, because there's days when sometimes we understand what he said when he said unconditional. God is God in the good times, and God's still God when it's not so good times, and we don't understand. In April, we had two beautiful little great grandsons born, twin boys. Born at 7 months, so 2 pounds, lots of problems. But you know what? God is God in the good times and the bad times. And they're doing good, they're growing, and my prayer is we will lead them back to their Father. And I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful when there is heartache that I can call somebody and they'll pray, and I know they're praying. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Not many churches preach the gospel anymore. And a lot of times you go to a church and you have strobe lights, and we still have good music, thank God.
Still. Still.
Your dad wants to go past.
Oh, man. Do I have to step out here so they can see me?
Yeah, let's go a little further.
Okay. I'm glad to be back here for a little bit for Thanksgiving break. I am thankful for all that Pastor Rulli has taught me. I'm also thankful for all the opportunities God has given me down at Crossroads Baptist Church. Just this year, the Lord allowed for me to be able to step up as the youth leader down there, and just working with the teens and seeing the difference I'm able to make in their lives, that obviously that's a difference that I'm not doing because it's just me, it's because it's God, and it's a gift and a talent that God has given me. And so as long as I'm using that talent for God, God will continue to use it. And it's just amazing how God has allowed that. And I told my teens, I won't be here this Sunday. And they just all kind of gave me this sad face. And I was like, well, I guess that's a good thing. I'm glad that they're going to miss me because that means the Lord's doing something. And also just the opportunity to just serve in that church. I mean, I've learned so much. Under Pastor Larrick, he's not an easy person to follow sometimes because it needs to be a certain way, and that's a good thing because it's taught me obedience when I don't want to, or this doesn't make sense. I think I know a better way, but it doesn't matter. You just gotta obey, and I've learned that, and it's just sometimes it's a hard lesson to learn. I think that's something that took me all my life to learn. I'm still learning, right? But and I'm also grateful for my parents and my family, my sisters, and that they're back here, and my church family back here rooting for me. I mean, praying for me, because I definitely need the prayer. I know I need the prayer. Every day, almost every day, while driving, there's just crazy people out there driving in Indianapolis. I mean, just today, coming back, someone pulled out in front of me. And I'm thankful for the new brakes I just got recently, because I got to test them out. And, so the Lord's been good. Oh, and since, May, we've seen, 20 souls saved, or 20 to 30 souls saved at Crossroads, so the Lord's really working.
I'll let you finish, and then...
Okay. All right, I am very thankful for our church, my family. And not for the same reason you are, but I'm thankful for Johnny. I really miss him back here. And I'm thankful that he's been willing to teach me this stuff so I can help out. Just like I said, I'm thankful for you, Pastor, and for the way the Lord loves and uses us, even in spite of us, our weaknesses. Thankful for a wife that loves me in spite of my weaknesses. And just thankful for the job I have.
If you're more comfortable with Psalms 107, Psalm 107. Say, are you going to get us out of here by 8? You never know. Psalm 107, verse 22. I want you to see it. You need to be there if you can. It's best if you're looking at that. I was reading through this psalm today. Some other things, but when I got to this one, of course, if you were to read the whole thing, we're not going to read the whole thing. It's 43 verses. The theme I don't know if it was David. We don't know who wrote it, but somebody wrote it. God led someone to write it. And the emphasis in this chapter is the goodness and mercy of God. He's good to us. That has become a cute phrase. God is good. But He is. He's good to us even in the bad times. Verse 22 says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. So you see in that verse the word sacrifice. And He uses it, He piggybacks those words. He says sacrifice the sacrifices. And if you think about what it would take to offer God a sacrifice, it was a big deal. You got to get the animal, catch the animal, inspect the animal, make sure that it was worthy. You slit its throat. Usually you would quarter it and then roast it on an altar and collect the blood. I mean, it wasn't just throwing some money in a plate. So what He's talking about here is it may take us some effort to be thankful. But He doesn't say do it if it's easy. He says that we should do it. You slaughter that animal to sacrifice to God. And we know, of course, in the Old Testament, that was what God, we know now, they didn't know, but we know now that every sacrifice pointed to Jesus Christ. Now we can't please God with that kind of sacrifice. We please Him. The Bible tells us with the right heart, with the right spirit. And what you said tonight was so on key. And that hit me. I like to be thankful, but I like to be thankful when I want to be thankful. And I like to be thankful when times are good. And then God, you know how God talked to you? And, I want Him to talk to me, and I got to quit asking Him to talk to me because He keeps talking to me. And I'm praying about this and reading these scriptures, and James 1 came to mind. You know the verses. Verse 3, James 1 says, knowing, and I turn to it, I'm reading it, and it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then he goes on to say, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then verse 5, I claim verse 5 every morning for wisdom. But now being tied in to those times that God tries me and tests me. Verse 5, James 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, boy, I do when it comes to trials. Because they come and I go, oh, man, why me? Why now? Why this? I'll tell you why. One of my big sins, write this down. One of my big sins, if you don't already know it, is impatience. And impatience is the root cause of complaining. James told us the trying of your faith, not the trying of your patience, That's what I think it should say. Because God tries my patience all the time. But he's not trying to make me patient. He's trying to make my faith better. He's trying to make me trust him. He's trying to make me know that he knows what he's doing. Because if I'm impatient, I am not trusting. There's a lack of faith. And he doesn't want, I mean, think of this. God doesn't want to keep testing us. He gets glory from the results of the test. Been a while that I've heard these words, but these are terrifying words. We're having a test tomorrow. Old Dr. Weeks never warned us. He just said, when you come to my class, always have a 3x5 card because you never know when we're going to have, they called it a pop quiz. We'd get to class, old Dr. Weeks would say, take out a 3x5 card, please. And my first words were not great. My first words were, oh, no. He expected us to come to class prepared to be tested. He could say, did you read? Yeah. Did you study? Yeah. Do you know the material? Sure. He proved it by testing us. I rejoice in God's faithfulness, as many of you have said. He's God. He's made promises to us that he will keep. Are you at Psalm 107? In just the first 31 verses, he repeats verse 6, including verse 6, four times. Verse 6 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Look at verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Hey, I don't know what you'd call that. I'd call that good. Say, well, if you just keep me from trouble. That's not God's way. Do you know that yet? Hey, 2 weeks into the Christian life, you'll figure that out. He has a reason for that. Verse 8, he repeats that verse four times. Verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, oh, you think he's trying to send us a message here? Oh, that men, verse 31, would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men in the midst of our trials. Give me 5 minutes. In the midst of our trials, when it's hardest, God wants us to sacrifice. Psalm 107, verse 22, thanksgiving. You'll always be saved. You say, I'm not one of those that believes I'm eternally secure. Then, okay, you have nothing to be thankful about. But in the midst of my trials, I'm his child. Four times in that chapter, they cried and he answered. Four times in this chapter, he's good. Before James said, chapter 1, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He said, James 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. Do you still hate that verse? I do. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know what James is telling us? He's not saying, you know, just be nutso and like it. He's saying, don't give up. Don't quit. It's going to get hard. You're going to go through a lot. But I think he wants us to make an altar in our heart and offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It is not a sacrifice when you're not going through a hard time. It's a sacrifice when you don't want to do it. Look up here. Get the first. It's not a sacrifice. When, oh, you get everything and you eat like a pig tomorrow and lose 5 pounds. Everybody's going to be thankful. When you get on the scale and moan and groan, thank him. Thank him that you've got food. Thank him that you can jog. And then it hit me, the Lord said, hey. I heard him say, even Jonah was thankful. Jonah is in the belly of the whale. And in that whale he wrote, Jonah 2 and verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Say, yeah, but when he came out, he's still a jerk. Takes one to know one. We do the same thing. Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians the 4th chapter, verse 6, be careful. Watch now. Be careful for nothing. In other words, pray. Don't live without praying. Don't make decisions without praying. Be careful for nothing, he wrote, but in everything. Say, does everything there mean everything? Really? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, do you know the verse? With thanksgiving. We pray especially when we need God, and every situation we go through needs prayer. And you do it with thanksgiving. He wrote to the Colossians, Colossians 2 and verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Isn't that good? That is Pastor Jones's life verse, and he'd quote that all the time and challenge me with that verse. Thank God he kept doing that. Rooted. Where's your roots? You need to be in him. Rooted and built up in him. If our roots are in him, we can be thankful. But notice what he said to them. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. As ye have been taught. Boy, and there's a word there that just really gets me. He said, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know what abounding means? The same thing is going to happen to you tomorrow. You're going to abound in food. You're going to excess in what you eat. You're supposed to. Our thanksgiving is supposed to be in excess. Only God, you said it. Only God is the answer to hard times. And if you don't know it, you'll learn it. Only God. And his desire is that we are, listen, that we are built up in him. So that we learn to abound with thanksgiving. Our temptation. We feel like, boy, I don't know what to do. When you don't know where to turn, turn to thanksgiving. I'm talking to me. I mean, you ask my wife that I don't like any of the sermons I preach because I need them all. This one I need. I don't want it. I mean, God and I fuss all the time. Like, can I just talk about something real sweet and, you know, cute and the Lord taught you, no. You're not working for me, you work for me. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's where you turn. You don't turn to anything else, you turn to, thank you, God. There's just something about it when you do that. God says, they passed the test. They passed the test. Why does God keep testing me? Because you're not passing the test. Why am I going through this again? I'm pretty sure I went through more years of college than I care to admit, but every time I passed, they never made me retake it. When you pass the test, you move on. They didn't say, we just want you to take this again because we're mad at you. Got to pass the test. And the way you pass the test is you turn to thanksgiving. You don't turn away from God. You don't turn to complaining. You don't turn to murmuring. You turn to thanksgiving. Thank you, God. You know what you're doing in everything. Remember that? I don't know if you passed that test Sunday. In everything, give thanks. Not for. In. I can remember taking some tests going, I'll never use this. I don't need to know this. But that didn't matter. Because that smart guy up front, who we call doctor or professor, that was his choice to put it on the test. And when he said, what about this? I wrote it down. I didn't put, and oh, by the way, I think this is dumb. I put down what he wanted so I could pass. Sometimes you're going to be thankful when you don't want to be thankful. But that's the way God gets glory. He doesn't get glory through testing you. He gets glory through the response of the test. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Dear Father, a lot of this we know. I can almost hear the hearts of people tonight saying, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that. I should do that. And we're here tonight, God, because it's church and because it's Thanksgiving. And most of all, it's in your word. Before Thanksgiving was established, you said, hey, I need you to sacrifice the sacrifices of Thanksgiving. I need to do that. I need your help. I need to be rooted and built up in you and established in the faith. So I will respond to my test. So I'll count it all joy when I fall into divers temptation. Knowing this, help me, God. Others tonight might say the same. You can, you know exactly what they're thinking right now. So you help them, God. You help them. Bless our evening. Bless our day tomorrow. I pray we'll give you this sacrifice, the sacrifices of thanksgiving. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.